This is Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, but you should understand this, that this letter was not only to Ephesus, but it's what we call a general letter, and it was distributed all through the first century to various areas of the kingdom. And so this prayer is not only for them, but it is for us today as well. So Paul prays for us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, heaven and earth and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is working with us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, throughout all generations. So Paul was praying for us as well. Well, if you've been in attendance here at church when I've preached in the past, you'll know that I've been often speaking about kingdom living and having kingdom living as a focus of the message. Kingdom living is having an ongoing awareness of God as you live your day-to-day lives. Kingdom living becomes, over time, a significant part of who you are. Your essence as a person and how you relate to others in the world around you. I say over time because kingdom living is a process. See, kingdom living has a beginning. It has a goal that we're heading towards. But you know what? Kingdom living has no end while we live in this world. Because we're always growing. We're always growing. Paul refers to this in our passage today. He writes of being filled, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's a filling. It's a filling that starts and is progressive through your life. You're being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as he guides your life in kingdom living. In the book of Job, we read of this endless quest to know God. In Job, we read, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? They're higher than the heavens above. They're deeper than the depths below. What can you know?" Kingdom living is the process of seeking to know God. So what can you know? You can seek to know God. But it also requires that you make a lifelong commitment, a commitment to accept as best you can to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit in every day of your life. And so today I'm going to use scripture to answer three questions about kingdom living. The first question is this: what is the motivation for anyone to make a commitment to kingdom living? The second question is this: what does this journey of kingdom living look like? What is the roadmap? And the third question is this: how does kingdom living change the way people see us? And is it a good thing? So, the first question: what motivates anyone to make a commitment to kingdom living? Actually, why does anyone make a commitment to anything? Especially a lifelong commitment or a commitment that may entail danger. Throughout Jesus' 3 years of ministry, day in and day out, his apostles saw his miracles. They saw his healings. They saw his great love and empathy for the poor. They listened to his teachings. They believed that what he was teaching was right. And you know what? They were eagerly waiting. They thought, this is it. They were looking for Jesus to be the Messiah who was going to bring back to earth the kingdom of Israel, the Jewish kingdom. But then they watched as their hopes were dashed when Jesus was on the cross and he died. We know the rest of the story. But how committed do you think they were at that point in time to carrying on Jesus' message of the kingdom? How about you? Put yourself in their shoes. Their master, who they believed was going to restore the kingdom of the Jewish kingdom to earth, had just died. They knew all of Jesus' teachings, but they were devastated, and they were scared, and they were hiding. Because they knew that if they went forward to just proclaim the message, that there was a sure bet that they were going to be killed as well, in a manner not too unlike the crucifixion. But what happened? What motivated them to walk out and proclaim the kingdom of God? How did they set in motion the most powerful spiritual movement in all of human history? What happened is that the physically resurrected Jesus appeared to them. He came to them where they were hiding in fear. John's gospel tells the story. Let me read it to you. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe." Thomas was, you can imagine what Thomas was like, but he knelt on his knees and he said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The resurrected Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And later, Jesus said to them, "Look, I'm going to be with you every day until the very end of the age." You see, it's our resurrected Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that motivated the apostles. And that motivation that empowered them is the same motivation for us. The motivation comes from the power of the Holy Spirit received in grace through faith. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to stay the course in the kingdom, living in the kingdom. So we understand the motivation of what caused the apostles to start proclaiming the kingdom of God and the movement of the church. But now, the second question was this: what does the journey of kingdom living look like? What is the roadmap? We all need maps. You know, Susan and I just spent a month in England driving with the driving steering wheel on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of the car, right? And in England, we were in northern England, and you know, we weren't on highways. We were on these backcountry roads. You know what it's like? It's about as wide as this metal path right here. And it's not bad enough that it's skinny like that, right? These folks know over here. But they have hedgerows about 8 feet tall, so you can't see anything. And it's winding in and out and everything, and it's like you don't even know where you're going. You have an idea, but you don't know. And all of a sudden, sometimes all around the corner comes a big bus, and you know where you go? Into the cornfields. All right? That's how it is. But you know, when you're moving through England like this, and you don't know where you're going, you need something to help you. And what do we have? We have Google Maps. So this kind lady gets on the telephone and says to me, in 1/8 of a mile, you're going to turn right. And I do. And that's the right way to go. You know, when I was starting in business, I didn't have Google Maps. What I had, I was a salesman, and I had in my left hand a map, my right hand with me on the steering wheel, being helped also by my knee, and on my left knee, I would have my McDonald's hamburger. And so the map, though, was key. I knew, okay, next right, next left. We need maps. We need a roadmap. Well, our passage today identifies where the journey of the kingdom living leads us. And we know that the journey is a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey where N.T. Wright says, the Messiah will make his home in our hearts, and through faith, the love may be our root, all right, and our firm foundation. Now, I said earlier that the kingdom living is a process. It has a beginning, and it has a goal. The beginning is when the Holy Spirit renews us, when it comes into our heart. The goal is having the love of God be ever increasingly manifested in the way we live our lives. That's the goal. That's where we're headed, to be having the love of God rooted firmly in our souls and guiding us as we move our way through life. A prayer that we recited earlier and we recite all the time is the Lord's Prayer, right? And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we certainly need the kingdom to come into the world because our world is a mess. But you know, we each can pray this prayer from our own perspective. We can pray, may your kingdom come into my life, and may your will be done in my life. We just sang the worship, well, we listened to the worship song, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God, beautiful words all the way through. But the first verse is really touches what I'm talking about. It's a prayer, isn't it? It says, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my living soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your heart to come alive in me. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity, Holy Spirit. Breathe new life in me. The journey of kingdom living is the roadmap that the Holy Spirit lays out for us daily. The journey of kingdom living is seeking to have, to live a personal spiritual life guided by the character, the teachings, the power of Jesus Christ. We grow to be like him. The spiritual life is available to anyone who will place their trust and confidence in Jesus. In the same way, we trust Google Maps. When we trust the Holy Spirit to guide us through our life, we'll never be lost. So we know why there's a commitment to kingdom living, and we know the roadmap, and it's the roadmap is the map that is given to us by the Holy Spirit himself, rooted in our hearts. So the third question is this. How does kingdom living change the way people see us? This is a good thing. It is a good thing. Let me answer this question first. I decided to have Jesus in my life in my last year of college. It was a firm decision, but mostly I kept it to myself. Does anybody identify with this? One thing I remember is being concerned what my friends would think of this decision and how this decision would mess things up about what I like to do. I came to discover slowly but surely, however, that many people looked favorably at my decision. Actually, one by one, I found many people interested in talking about God. The truth is that most people have many thoughts and questions about spiritual matters. What I found over time and along the process of seeking God is that I had to pretend less. You know, if you want to have freedom in life, consider being real. Who you really are. So it's a good thing to seek to live your life in the kingdom of God. You find yourself, honestly. And people will like getting to know you. But here I want to offer a caveat to that. You need to be wary of pretending to be some sort of a super Christian. Saying things you think people want to hear, maybe things that you heard on the radio, but which doesn't really reflect who you are. It's key. In the next chapter of Ephesians, Paul writes this. He says, "Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor." So it's good to share your struggles. Share where you've been. Share why you believe what you believe. That's what the Gospels tell us to do. So the answer to how kingdom living may change the way people see you is this. They generally like you for who you are. They see good things about how you live, like you love and care for people, or having joy and patience and generosity. You're looking out for the needs of other people. You're looking at people's eyes and you're listening to what they say. You're not just thinking about what you're going to say next. You care about them. These are some of the things that happens when you become authentic and real. Hopefully people will see by the way you live that you're seeking to be a godly person. People will come to be comfortable speaking to you about God. That's a good thing. There's a lot of people that I've encountered over the years who have thought that they couldn't talk to people about God because they thought that I would just condemn them for a sin that I knew that maybe they have or maybe they don't have. They weren't comfortable talking with me. But you know what? One person I said, "Well, listen, I'm going to put the back of my pickup truck down. We'll sit on the pickup truck and let's share sins. Let's share what we've been going through in life." To be real people. David in the Psalms says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." You know, you can pray similar words, but just pray every day for God to lead you. Start your day that way. You know, has anybody here shot skeet? Maybe you haven't. I don't know. I only tried it once. But we were at a camp one time, and my son Michael was learning how to shoot skeet, and he was trying, you know, the clay pigeon would shoot up, I guess that's what it is, clay pigeon, and you put your eye up along the barrel of the gun, and you look through the aiming device on the top of the rifle, and you try to lead it a little bit and shoot, and he missed every single time. And so the champion was there with him, and he said, "You're doing it wrong. Don't look through the sight." He said, "When the clay pigeon goes off, you swing the rifle towards it and you pull the trigger and fire. Your brain will do the work." And I'm like, what? He hit 8 out of 10. It was amazing. You should try it. It really works. So, what happens when you begin each day aiming at kingdom living? God directs your path when you trust him. So make seeking God's kingdom what you do every day. Start it out when you put your feet on the floor. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. The power that comes with it, the ability, Lord, to be able to be who you really want us to be and to grow, to be the people that you chose us to be when you created us, God. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we celebrate the sacrament of communion, be with us as we consider what it was that you did to save our souls. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.